The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Are you driving your car or doing laundry right now? Podcasts go best when they're bundled with another activity. Like Progressive home and auto policies, they're best when they're bundled too. Having these two policies together makes insurance easier and could help you save. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. Quote a home and car bundle today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The fight over the Supreme Court nomination is on. The focus is squarely on the Senate, as the Republican majority vows to bring a Trump nominee to the floor in the midst of a heated presidential campaign. But as that battle is being waged, Democrats in Senate races all across the country are polling surprisingly well and in some unlikely places: Arizona, Iowa, Kansas, all of which went for Trump in 2016. In South Carolina, a Democrat named Jamie Harrison, a 44-year-old black man, is running to unseat Lindsey Graham, who chairs the powerful Senate Judiciary Committee. Harrison seemed like a long shot early on, but a poll this month put them neck and neck, tied at 48% among likely voters. Jamie Harrison has been the associate chairman of the Democratic National Committee since 2017. He's a former lobbyist, and he worked in the office of Representative Jim Clyburn. We spoke last week.
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right. I'm probably, you know, a tad less busy than you, but... So as we speak, you are running in a race declared a tie in one major poll against Lindsey Graham, who's one of the most prominent Republican members of the Senate. You've been a party official, but you've never held public office. What happened? How have you gotten into this position? And what's the core of your contest with Lindsey Graham?
Yeah. Well, thank you, David. Thanks for having me. Listen, you're correct. I have never held public office before, but I've been around for a while in terms of public policy. I've taught an Anchorage social studies. I've worked at a nonprofit. I've worked in the private sector. And I had a period of time when I worked on Capitol Hill for Congressman Jim Clyburn. I ran the whip operation, and I was the executive director for the House Democratic Caucus. And I served as chair of the state party here in South Carolina, and I currently am working at the DNC. And so I've seen public policy. I've seen the good, the bad, but I also have seen the power of how good public servants can really address the issues that people are dealing with on a day-to-day basis. And the problem that we have here in South Carolina, despite the fact that we have a wonderful state and great people, we just happen to have some feckless leaders, and Lindsey Graham is emblematic of that.
Lindsey Graham once called Donald Trump a race-baiting, xenophobic, religious bigot. Now, he doesn't call him that any longer. They play golf and they trade compliments and favors. But was he right in the first place?
Well, Lindsey's also called the president a kook. He's demagoguing. Listen, I don't get into that business. My grandma taught me some good Southern manners, and part of that is that you don't throw names at people. You don't castigate folks. You may not like what they do, but you try to find the positive and move forward on that. I don't agree with President Trump on everything. I don't agree with him on a lot of things, but I'm not going to get into the schoolyard, let me call you names, like Senator Graham has done.
But it's not a matter of calling him names or calling him a jerk. It's calling things by their proper name. Is President Trump a racist? Is he a xenophobe? Is he a bigot?
Well, I leave that for everybody else to make a determination. I can tell you in terms of my front, in my opinion, I have not appreciated, the president's stance on some of these issues dealing with race. We need better. We need someone who can lead in that space, because it's a precarious time that we're in right now. And we need some real leadership that can unite us and not divide us. And I have not seen that from President Trump over the years. But listen, again, for me, this is a focus on the people of South Carolina, and none of that really matters to the folks. When we got folks here who are scared about their livelihoods because of the coronavirus, we have people scared about getting evicted from their homes. When we got folks who can't provide for their kids, that's the most pressing. Those are the most pressing things. You know, the characterization of the president doesn't address any of those issues.
What do you suppose turned Lindsey Graham around? What turned him from being somebody who's calling the president what I just described to someone who seems to be one of his closest friends in Washington? What happened?
Well, Lindsey Graham is all about Lindsey Graham. It's about political power and his political relevance. And he said, you know, he's just happy to be in the president's orbit. But that's not what the job of a U.S. senator is. The job of a senator is to represent your constituents. We got 38% of rural communities in this state that don't have any access to broadband. Just a few years ago, four of our rural hospitals have closed over the past few years. Issue after issue, we have a lot of things going on here in South Carolina, and we just need someone who will take the time and pay the attention to it and address it. But Lindsey hasn't even done a town hall here in the last 3 years. He's golfed with the president more than he's actually had town halls during the six-year term. That's not what we need right now in terms of representation.
On last Friday evening, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, at the age of 87, a longtime member of the Supreme Court and a hero to many, particularly among liberal constituency, died. And as you well know, Lindsey Graham in 2016 said that if the presidential race had entered the primary stage, that no president should appoint anybody to the Supreme Court should there be a death or a retirement until the presidential race was over. Now he seems to have changed his mind. How would you characterize that change of mind?
Well, listen, my grandfather told me when growing up, he said, a man is only as good as his word. A man is only good as his word. And Lindsey Graham, not on one occasion, but multiple occasions, gave his word to the American people, but more specifically to the people of South Carolina. He said that no nominee should be considered in an election year. He said that even with President Trump in the final year of his four-year term, that he would not vote for and consider a nominee in that time period. And now he is going back on his word.
You would say his word is worthless.
It's worthless. And my grandfather would say that is a lie. It's a bold-faced one.
And you would say that as well?
Yes, I would. The worst thing you can do as a public servant is to betray the trust of the people that you represent. And that's what Lindsey Graham has done. Now, this isn't the first time, but that's what he's done in this occasion. And it's sad. And I think honesty is going to be on the ballot on November 3rd.
As I said earlier, the race is now, according to at least Quinnipiac's poll, is tied at 48-48, which is kind of amazing considering how long Senator Graham has been in office and his seeming popularity in the state. How does the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg and the political battle that's already seemingly begun, how does that affect your race with Lindsey Graham?
I don't know if it does affect the race. I know that Senator Graham will take this prime opportunity to get in front of as many TV cameras as he can, because he actually likes that part of the job better than actually doing the work for the people here in South Carolina. But I'm going to constantly be doing what I've done for almost 2 years now, which is talk about the issues that people really care about.
What do you think the Senate Democrats should do to stop a replacement being named?
I think they need to remind folks of the precedent that is set. I think they need to constantly replay the words of the members who made a commitment that we were going down this road. And it wasn't very long ago. So hopefully these members haven't forgotten what they said. And we can roll the tape. As Lindsey Graham said, use my words. And well, we're going to use your words, Senator.
Donald Trump is ahead by 6 points in South Carolina, even though you are tied. Why are some people for Trump and maybe for you at the same time?
Well, partly I can only tell you why they're for me. And it's because I'm talking about the issues that they care about. And I'm doing that in a manner that is not about Democrats versus Republicans. We've had four rural hospitals that have closed here in South Carolina. When your rural hospital closes and your grandpa has a stroke or a heart attack, complications with diabetes, or if your wife has complications with her pregnancy, you don't care whether it's a Democrat or Republican in the United States Senate. All you care about is having a hospital to go to. And that's what I'm talking about. Lindsey is not talking about those things. He's running around with all of these hearings. He's running around changing this position and that position. He's, golfing. He's not having town halls. He's, just in front of, sitting with Sean Hannity every other night. And he's not addressing those issues. But I am. And that's the appeal that I think a lot of people have right now. And I'm going to always shoot straight with them. They might not always agree with me on everything. And I've told folks that. But they will always know where I am. And they will always know that I will never lie to them.
Tell us where you are on Brett Kavanaugh. Would you have voted to confirm him?
I had a lot of questions with Kavanaugh dealing with the issues surrounding the treatment of Dr. Ford. I wasn't privy to all of the information.
You listened to the hearing. Would you have voted for or against him?
Well, but I'm not a senator yet. And so when I am a senator, I will make those decisions based on the information in front of me. But I'm just telling you, there's a lot of ifs, ands, and buts in that. And right now, I'm focused on my folks here in South Carolina.
Who's your political idol? Who would you model yourself on in the Senate?
That's a really good question. I don't know if I have a political model in the Senate, but partly because I don't think there will be anybody in the Senate like me.
How do you know?
Do we know anybody in the Senate who grew up on food stamps, who was evicted from their home, lived in public housing, born to a single mom, raised by their grandparents? I mean, all of those things are the perspectives that I will bring to the United States Senate, which I think will be fairly unique. I hope that what I can do once I'm in the U.S. Senate is become a model for other kids who are growing up in this country just like me, and there are millions of them. I mean, I talked to so many single moms on this campaign thus far, and they just tell me, they said, I hope and pray that my son or my daughter can just get out like you did, right? Because they've been trapped in the cycle of poverty, the cycle that my family had been trapped in for generations. And I was able to break that and then help my family. And so that's part of the reason why I'm in this race. And it's part of the reason why I've told folks I've already won. Despite what happens on November 3rd, it is because there have been young people who have come up to me with tears in their eyes. And they said, thank you so much for doing this, because you just give me hope that I can do something. And that's part of why I'm proud of the way that we have run this race. I'm proud of the results that we have gotten in this race. This is the David versus Goliath race of 2020. And I'm going to play this role to the hilt.
It's a rare thing that a freshman senator can get through with his or her leadership a piece of legislation. If you could do that, what would that legislation be? What would be the most important thing to you?
Well, it's probably also rare for a freshman senator to have the experience that I have. I mean, my job was to get the 218 votes to pass bills on the floor of the House. One of the things that I want to do is what we've rolled out just a few weeks ago. We rolled out a Rural Hope Agenda, in essence, an agenda to rebuild and revitalize rural communities across South Carolina, but across the country as well. It has five pillars about health care. It's tackling health care disparities in those communities. education, infrastructure, economic opportunities, and it also includes a Farmer's Bill of Rights. Because when I looked at South Carolina and asked, why is South Carolina on the top of all the bad lists and on the bottom of all the good? It's partly because our rural communities is are dragging the state down in terms of those categories because of just historical neglect. Lindsey Graham's not talking about these issues, but I am. And I'm focused on this because I grew up in a rural community. I understand the joys of those communities, but the hardships that come in those communities as well. And I want to give those folks hope again. I want them to feel as though somebody, their senator, is fighting for them each and every day.
Mr. Harrison, I wish you luck. All the very best to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Jamie Harrison, a Democrat running for the Senate from South Carolina.